Q107 is Toronto's rock station, home to the best rock music on earth, and the Daily Derringer Podcast.
Bit of a revelation as we finished up the radio program today. I didn't realize that Johnny Garth Garbutt, beyond his massive collection of wrestling dolls, also has some Star Wars dolls, but interestingly, only the bad guys from Star Wars.
Yeah.
No good guys whatsoever. No Luke Skywalker.
Does that mean, Johnny, like when you met Sarah and she saw your collection, she's like, she told her girlfriend, she's like, he's a bad boy. I like bad boys.
Yeah. Oh.
He's a bad. What do you mean? He's got a motorcycle, tattoos? No.
All his dolls, are bad boys.
Yeah, he's got a 12-inch Darth Maul on the shelf.
Believe me, if you put 12-inch Darth Maul on Tinder, they're going to think it's something else.
that's panty remover.
That is true.
Okay. So you want to talk about some comic stuff?
Well, today is Superhero Day, celebrating those fiction and nonfiction superheroes that you may or may not know. And we're going to stick with the fictional type of the superhero crop. Do you guys have a favorite superhero off the top of your head?
I'm not a huge superhero guy.
Cool.
I guess maybe Spider-Man. Parker's his last name, and he's got a little bit of humor.
Yeah, I got a Spider-Man one for you, okay. So get ready for that. John, do you have a favorite superhero?
You know what? I would have to go, I think, with Mr. Incredible, head of the Incredibles family.
Oh, yeah, that's a good movie.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought he was a good dude. Mm-hmm. He had a good series of things that he could do.
Like the Disney Incredibles?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With Jack.
Yeah.
Which is like 50% why we named our son Jack.
Really?
Was it?
Yeah, and he gets at daycare. He's known as Jack.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Wasn't it Craig T. Nelson?
I think so.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Good guy, Mr. Incredible. Mm-hmm. Good dude.
Mine's Batman. Thanks for asking.
Okay. John, who's your favorite?
It's Batman.
Okay.
And I come by that one, honestly. So, you guys know about Kryptonite?
Yep.
Okay, that is Superman's, I can't have kryptonite anywhere near me. Do you know how that came about? I find this to be very interesting. Do you know how kryptonite came about?
Was this planet like Jell-El or something like that, and didn't they have kryptonite on there?
Yes, but it goes back earlier than that. Okay. It first appeared in the comics in 1949. Kryptonite first became a thing when the voice actor who played the superhero in the radio show The Adventures of Superman needed a vacation. It was in 1943 the show debuted kryptonite, a deadly mineral using a stand-in who, while the original voice actor was on vacation, the stand-in only had to moan in pain for 2 weeks.
Mm. That's kind of interesting, too, that there's this guy and his gig is as a voice actor and he needs a vacation, and it's 1943, smack in the heart of World War II.
Mm. Yeah, you know where he wasn't going? Europe.
No, he probably just went to Myrtle.
I'm going to say the Pacific Islands, probably not a big destination either.
Myrtle Beach, eh?
Yeah, straight Myrtle Beach. So a guy for 2 weeks just was like,
he stormed the beaches of Myrtle.
Yeah, I guess France is off the list, eh? Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Let's try Pensacola.
Derringer, what's Batman's real name?
Bruce Wayne.
You got it. It has historical roots. Do you know where his name comes from?
Wayne's World.
No. Mm-hmm. He was named for the Scottish national hero, Robert the Bruce.
No.
Come on now.
And Mad Anthony Wayne, a hero of the American Revolution.
Wow.
Bruce Wayne.
That's interesting. That was Angus McFadden, I think, in Braveheart.
Braveheart.
Is that Bobby the Bruce?
The problem with Scots is full of Scots. Yeah. The guy gets kicked out the window. Is that guy?
He was the king. King Longshanks.
Yeah.
Eddie
Longshanks.
Robert the Bruce had a bit of a soft spot for Braveheart. Yeah. He didn't want his head taken off.
No, he did what he could. Mm-hmm. He kind of went non-douche, ended up as a non-douche.
Yeah, like, put it this way, when it came to the very end, he wasn't cheering like the crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He was kind of like, oh, this sucks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, he had a bit of a change of heart.
Yeah.
John, just like you would have a change of heart if you got like a few good guy Star Wars dolls.
Yeah. I would not accept them. I'd be like, do you have a gift receipt, please?
So it's strictly black, no white.
Yep. Huh? Listen, I only have four of them. One is a Vader. I have two Stormtroopers and a Darth Maul.
Okay, because I'm so fascinated by it, and I've seen your doll collection in the basement. But if you had to guess, in your wrestling doll collection, do you have more heels or more good guys? Which do you have more of?
Oh my God, you're blowing my mind right now because I don't even know how to equate the question because some faces turn heel and some heels turn faces.
Okay. How about take your, this is a homework assignment.
I don't even know.
Good cop out though.
Yeah, break it down tonight. Break it down.
Yeah.
And give us an answer. And also, you can answer this tomorrow too. If God forbid there was a massive fire and you're going to lose all your dolls and you could save one, who is it? Tell us another day.
Okay.
Yeah. One of these days we're going to have to ask you more of those questions. Mm-hmm. I'm so deeply fascinated by your doll collection. Mm-hmm. All right, sorry, go ahead.
It's all right. Spider-Man, your favorite Rye?
Yeah.
Okay, he wasn't named or founded on an actual spider. It was just a winged insect that your man Stan Lee saw at Marvel HQ. Mm-hmm. And he was originally going to say that he was going to call him Fly Guy. Spider-Man's original name was Fly Guy for like 5 seconds, just like my name was Garth for a week.
I got you.
And I don't think Fly Guy would have taken off as well as it did.
No, I think Spider-Man's a better name.
Yep.
Say that right now.
Stanley.
Your girl Wonder Woman, Diana Prince, held a whole bunch of different jobs throughout her superhero days. As various times, she worked as a romance novel writer, a fast food employee, a singer, a spy, and a secretary. Those were all of Diana Prince's jobs before, as her alter ego when she was Wonder Woman.
Young Ryan Parker really enjoyed Linda Carter as Wonder Woman.
You're not alone in your enjoyment, my friend.
If you had to pick your favorite Wonder Woman,
you were alone in your enjoyment.
Yes, I was.
But you weren't the only guy who was alone in his enjoyment.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, Johnny.
Is it Gail or Linda?
Oh my God, there's not even Johnny.
There's not even?
There's not. You can Linda Carter?
Yeah.
Let's go every day of the week. Every day. Hey, listen, and that Gail Gadot is
who's Gail?
Gail Gadot.
She's a very attractive woman, good actress. Weird with the Imagine thing she went off on.
I'm going to say, to me, it's a closer game than Parks is making it.
Mm-mm. That's what I thought, because I know you like Gail Gadot a lot.
Yeah, that's tough.
Battle of the Network Stars. Google Linda Carter. Have fun. Again, I suggest you be by yourself.
There's a picture with her and Gabe Kaplan. Yes. I believe she just got out of a pool.
Yes, she did, and she's adjusting daddy-likey.
Okay, Parksy, Linda Carter versus Marky Post.
Wow.
RIP file.
For me, that's not even a question. It's Post all the way for me.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're going with it.
I'm with you on that one.
Rye?
In that case, I'll be alone with Linda Carter, boys.
Yes, you will. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Sorry we got a little off track.
Please
there.
Don't. I really enjoy these sidetracky sort of things. Captain America's name wasn't always Captain America. He was supposed to be Super American after World War II. Super American. The name didn't last long because the creators felt there were too many people using Super. So then he just became Captain America.
Extremely American, eh?
Yes.
Steve Rogers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good one.
Could not get any more American. That is Super American. America.
Yep. Like, yep.
Everything about it is America.
Yep. Like he eats like white gravy and grits.
Yep. Like you could move Superman to Bolivia. Like I know, Gotham City and Batman is based on New York. But they could all be transported everywhere else. Captain America is America.
Yeah, it's funny, though. A lot of the superheroes, the actors, are not American who play American, like Spider-Man. Right? That guy's British. He's English.
Who? Andrew Garfield is one.
He's Captain America?
No, not Captain America. But I'm saying, like, Batman, right? Christian Bale.
Yeah.
The Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield, and the new Spider-Man, or the most recent, the younger guy.
Yeah.
He's English. Yeah. Weird, eh?
Very weird. You guys ever watch, what's the one with Star-Lord? Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, seen that one. No. Our kids were not interested for whatever reason.
But the soundtrack took off, right?
Yes. It was actually a really good soundtrack. Yeah.
So everybody's kind of like, hey, you know Star-Lord, how he like travels around in space without a helmet so he can breathe? Like, how come Star-Lord doesn't need a helmet in space? Marvel has no answer for them. They're just like, it is what it is. And to John's point, we've talked about superhero movies in the past. John's issue, your biggest issue is just like the timeline of things, right? Of how like things kind of
it's just confusing.
Go through like these weird sort of time continuum things where you can go back in the past and whatnot. And
correct.
You don't really have to answer any sort of logistical questions of why a human does not need a space helmet in space.
Honestly, in the context of this kind of story, I can't even believe somebody would ask that question. Like my daughter and my eldest daughter and I watched Spider-Man No Way Home about a month or so ago. And I got to tell you, there's so much stuff I just don't get.
So confused.
Like, how are there three Spider-Men right now? Well, it's the time continuum.
And yeah.
You know what I like? I like a guy whose family is carjacked by a Colombian cartel.
That's it.
And it takes place in 1987. And there's some Pablo Escobar is kind of lurking in the background. And then a guy, special forces guy, has to go down to Colombia and kill all of them. Okay, I'm good with that.
I get it.
All right. Yeah, of course. It's insane that it would happen that way. But I can find myself believing Chuck Norris and missing in action more than I can believe that three Spider-Men are fighting on the same building. For whatever reason.
I agree with you. Yeah. There's definitely a suspension of belief.
Like, I can believe Chuck Norris in Delta Force on a motorcycle, keeping up with an airplane, a transport aircraft, as it takes off, and then boarding the aircraft with one hand. Of that course. I can get my head around.
Of course. You don't think I can get my head around Arnold Schwarzenegger killing 352 men because they kidnapped his daughter?
Oh.
Of course I can.
I also find it interesting how, like, Arnold in that movie, who you kidnap his daughter, and all of a sudden he can fly a helicopter.
Uh-huh.
Of course, sure. Right? He was in the war. Listen.
I understand, but
Did he paint his face?
Yes.
Did he wear fatigues?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then he can fly a helicopter.
Yeah. He had a bandolier full of grenades as he came out of the ocean onto the island.
I watched a Scott Adkins movie a couple of weeks ago where he and his group of paramilitary had to take back a military compound. And I went, it's truly amazing that this guy has had 600 rounds fired at him and not one of them has hit him, yet he is still able to get the girl and leave the island.
But I believe it.
Sure I do.
Would you also consider Chuck Norris and Delta Force to be more of a superhero than Star-Lord?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree with you there.
You see that guy operate a mini bike.
Yeah. Rye?
Yes.
Peter Parker. What's Peter Parker's middle name?
Oof. I don't know.
It's Benjamin. Robert Bruce Banner.
That's a Hulk?
Yeah, it is.
Dr. Banner?
Yes, and Star-Lord's middle name is Jason, in case you guys care.
Okay.
When Superman was first created, the artists thought it was too hard to draw him how to fly. So all he could do in the beginning was just to jump over the tall buildings in a single bound. And it wasn't until later that they were like, man, it's too hard to draw that. We should probably just get him to fly. It's a lot easier.
I got to say, you probably could have got a better artist then if you can't draw a thing flying. But anyways.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Yep. Well, I think jumping.
That's just
the flying they could do. It's the jumping.
Yeah, the jumping was definitely the issue.
Well, I don't believe that he could jump.
No, not at all. Who's faster, the Flash or Superman?
Oh, Flash.
It has to be.
It is the Flash.
Yeah.
Superman is supposed to be faster than a speeding bullet, but the Flash is the Flash. During a race between the two in the Flash Rebirth, the Flash sped past Superman, proving he's the quickest superhero there is.
Superman, isn't it almost like instantaneous?
It is. Superman claims he previously beat the Flash in other races, but the Flash said, hey, those races were for charity and other comic books. And so basically saying that he let Superman win.
Okay.
That's pretty superhero-ish. That's the last fact I have, by the way.
I like it.
It's superhero day.
I'm with John. Like, I'm not really into it because I have kids. I get kind of forced into it, and I really find myself struggling to piece it all together.
Do you care that you're not into it, or would you kind of... The only reason I ask is because there's so many of these movies out right now. And, you know, one day I'd like to talk more about the 90s movies that we all have such, you know, fond recollections of. But they were all one-offs, right? They were just, like, there was no Breakfast Club 2 in the 80s. And in the 90s, you know, there was a Clerks 2, right?
Yeah, but that was, generally speaking, I don't even know.
It wasn't like some big Hollywood. Yeah, I think there might have been, actually.
Yeah.
But a lot of them were just one-offs, mall rats, you know, just kind of fun. And now, like, if you really like the movie experience, I think you're really kind of doing yourself a disservice by not getting more into the various universes only because there's such a huge part of what's being made.
There's a small part of me that wants to go back and watch the MCU in chronological order the way that, you know, the internet says in which you should see it. So therefore, in the 16th movie, something that happens in the second one, you'll kind of put it together. Now on Disney Plus, there's all these sort of like WandaVision, which is part of the MCU. Yep. Like if you want to immerse yourself in superhero culture, you have the ability to do so in a huge way.
Well, I'd rather immerse myself in Bleach.
Wow.
Like, to answer your question, John, I like it in terms of I go to the theater and I respect how the budget they put in, and like it's incredible what you're watching on film. I only get enjoyment out of it because my kids are enjoying it. Like, there is no way in a trillion years I would see one of those movies without my kids. No way. Never. Never. In fact, I would actually protest it.
No, I can agree with you on that. But I also see Johnny's point that if you said, like, you have nothing to do for the next 3 years, you have to fill your time and you can't get up off the couch,
yeah,
you would be doing yourself a favor by getting into this because it's a great time eater. Like, that Avengers Endgame is like a weekend long.
Yeah.
You start that on Friday and it ends like Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I think I'm a little too dumb for it. Like, I actually don't, like...
I think you're selling yourself short.
No, I don't understand. I don't understand. When you said MSU or whatever, I don't even know what that means.
MCU.
I don't know what that means.
Marvel and these, Cinematic Universe.
These spinoffs, you're talking about Disney channels and stuff like that, which I have all that. There's, like, Star Wars television shows and stuff. And I'm like, I don't understand it.
Well, but the funny thing is how stupid we sound to people who do understand it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I talked to my daughter about it. And like I said, like, Endgame, I just don't get it. And she looks at me like I'm a moron. Like, well, what don't you understand? And I said, well, okay, well, if it's Endgame, then that's it, right? Well, no. Well, how can you have more when everyone just died?
Right.
Dad, like, what are you, a simple? Like, what's your problem?
Right. Like, there was no 7-2 where all of a sudden Gwyneth's head gets back onto her body and then they...
Well, that's the way it would work.
Right.
Okay, but that's a great example. Okay, so-and-so died.
Yeah.
Well, then why are they in the new movie? Well, because they're alive.
Yeah, Brad Pitt walked through a mirror and then there he is and he could save her before...
But this is the great thing. If you're into it,
yeah,
and you buy into it, it doesn't matter that they died in the last movie. And I got to tell you, there is something kind of awesome about that.
So,
but I like to see a drug dealer who's a bad guy die, and then you know he's dead. He's not coming back.
Right. What if the drug dealer, like, he's about to get killed, can just shoot up to Mars? You know what I mean? And then Abraham Lincoln comes down and kills the bad guy.
Is he a vampire or not a vampire?
Like, at the end of Marked for Death.
Right.
Did Screwface, I think that was Marked for Death, I believe so, one of the Seagal classics, Screwface dies in the elevator shaft.
Right.
Screwface. Once he goes down, he's dead. He has the bottom of the elevator shaft penetrating his rib cage. He's dead. They, at no point did they say, why don't we bring Screwface back? Well, that would make sense. He's dead. You can't do that.
And all the heroes survive, right?
Yeah.
Right? Like, Steven Seagal never dies, right? He never diets either.
A true hero never dies.
The gi just gets a little bigger.
Playing for Journey and Ann Wilson tickets is Paul Jr. this morning. Hey, Paul Jr., what's happening?
Hey, you know, everything all the time on the way to work again.
Is it always Paul Jr. or you answer to Paul too?
Well, it used to be Big Paul and Little Paul, and then I grew up a little bit bigger.
Ah, so you had to go with Paul Jr. I like it. Excellent, Paul Jr. Who's with you this morning?
I'm with Dylan.
Nice. In the vehicle, on the way to work.
The work truck on the way to Ajax today.
Beautiful. What does it say on your truck, Paul Jr.?
SMP Sheer Metal Product.
Beautiful. And that clearly is in the metal business.
Yes, sir.
Do you guys both, like, since you work in a car together or truck together, like, is one of you a bit of a chatty Cathy and the other one? Or do you both similar vibe? What's the feeling there?
I'm probably the chatty Cathy. Mm-hmm.
So Hugh's had enough some days?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Does it ever get physical?
No, not yet. I hope not.
Nice. Who picks up the tab more often when you stop for coffee?
We don't stop for coffee. We just work and roll.
Straight through. I like it. No wasting time for Paul Jr. and Dylan. All right, so on that note, let's get to it. 5 questions, 40 seconds from R. Parker.
All right, Paul Jr., and you know, if Dylan can hear as well, he can help you out. No big deal there. 40 seconds. You ready to go?
Yeah.
Your time starts now. What Disney character has a girlfriend named Daisy Duck?
Daisy Duck. That's Donald Duck.
A zoologist studies what topic?
Zoo animals.
Toronto's International Airport is named after whom?
Pearson.
What tissues connect muscles to the bones?
Tissues to the bones. Tendons.
Look at this guy. In what year did the European Union first introduce the euro as currency?
The euro was introduced, I'm going to say, 16.
2016?
Nope.
But you did very well. Very well. Look at this.
Wow, just breezed right through it there.
I tell you, I said Hugh can help you out. I don't know if... Or Dylan. Hugh Dylan. If you had Hugh Dylan with you, that would be very cool. Dylan can help you out, Paul Jr. I don't think he needed it. 4 for 5.
Nice. You know what? I like the definitive aspect of the way that these two guys roll, Paul Jr. and Dylan. Like, it's not like once in a while we stop for coffee or, like, you know, on the rare times we stop for coffee. It's like, we don't stop for coffee.
Love it. Too much work to do.
No, sir. They get right down to it.
That's right.
All right. So perfection is what you're asking a guy for then.
Correctamundo.
In order to win. All right. Do it.
Let's do it. What Disney character has a girlfriend named Daisy Duck?
Daffy Duck.
A zoologist studies what topic?
Oh, numbnuts. Donald Duck. Daffy. Go.
A zoologist studies what topic?
Animals.
Toronto's International Airport is named after who?
Lester B. Pearson.
What tissue connects the muscle to the bone?
Tendon.
In what year did the European Union first introduce the euro as currency?
Ooh, 97.
Ooh, you were so close. Paul Jr. was a little off with 2016. It was 1999-er.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go, Daffy Duck. Numbnuts.
It happens.
Paul Jr., Dylan, are you guys going to the show together, or how is this going to work when you get a pair of tickets to see Journey and Ann Wilson?
Dylan's never been to a concert. I might give it to him and his wife.
Ah. This is why Dylan likes to roll with you, Paul Jr. That's pretty obvious right there. Guy doesn't stop for coffee, and he just gave you a set of tickets. Beautiful thing. Excellent, boys. Well, have a good one today, doing what you do. And Dylan, looks like you and your wife will be off to Scotiabank Arena May 13th, see Journey and Ann Wilson.
Rock on.
Excellent. Have a good time, boys. Hey, boys.
Let's go, boys. SMT, boys.
So today is the 28th of April, and there's a connection that goes back to 1914 with today being Day of Mourning right across Canada. And it was established back in 1984 to remember those who had been killed, injured, or suffered some sort of illness in the workplace. And it goes back to 1914 because it was actually started to coincide with the 70th anniversary of when workers' compensation came in here in Ontario. And previous to 1914, it was like there was no compensation. And I think, you know, just a rudimentary look back at the labor history in a country like this is previous to then, like there was nothing. Like, sorry, kind of you lose, right? It's a horrible with the incredibly tough work that people were doing to build this country. And, you know, when many of them died, it was just like to the family, sorry, like, it's the way it goes, right? And it was, you know, incredibly ugly how that happened, and obviously really insensitive to the families that were building this country, things like the railroad, you know, all the infrastructure that we have today. But, you know, we see it and it continues. And look, the three of us, we fully understand and acknowledge we come in here to a job every day that has absolutely no physical peril, right? There's no physical issue whatsoever. Like, nothing bad happens here when it comes to you know, injury or anything like that. And maybe that's why I think the three of us probably feel, you know, as strongly as we do and have such respect for those who go to work every day knowing that they're in a place where horrible things can happen. And so one thing that we were just discussing during the song there was a guy who we got to know because he listened to the show for many years, and he was a huge Neil Young fan. Remember, Dan loved Neil Young, just loved him. And so he used to come to events and stuff like that, and we got to know him well enough, and he worked in a warehouse. We got to know him well enough that he invited us to his wedding, and his wedding was coming up 7 years ago, and it was going to be in the spring, and got a call from a good friend of his, a mutual friend, who said Dan was killed yesterday. And as it turns out, it was one of those freak accidents that can happen in warehouses, and I don't need to get into the grim details. It was ugly. And he was killed at work. And I can't help since on this 28th of April think of him and the fact that this was a guy who was going to work in a warehouse where there is machinery that can sometimes malfunction or something can go wrong. And we all pass construction sites every day. It would be impossible in the GTA not to pass construction or, you know, any scenario where somebody is doing a job where their life is at peril while doing it. And so that's what today is, the 28th of April. It's Day of Mourning in Canada, and I think about 100 countries worldwide.
Everyone's got a certain stress with their job, and then you think to yourself, you have your regular stresses with your job. On top of that, your safety could be on the line every single day. And I think about these types of jobs every single day because of the hours that we drive into work. A lot of times there's still overnight construction. And like this morning I was passing guys and the speed limit goes from 100 and they put up the signs to 80, but no one's going 80. And I'm like, wow, we're all whizzing past these guys. These guys are 8 feet from my car and I'm going 92 kilometers an hour. And then, and they're not just standing there looking at the traffic coming up. They're working. So they can't even keep an eye on the cars that are whizzing past them. And I guess they're just hoping everyone's paying attention.
Yep, indeed.
Their life is in someone else's hands, potentially.
So our certainly a tip of our hats to anybody who puts themselves in that position these days. And it's, hey, been one of the many great things about doing this job is we've met so many people in so many various industries and so many who, you know, whether it be driving a truck or working on a construction site or any job where every day that you go in, you probably don't think about it. I think it would be hazardous if you did think about it too much, but it's always looming there that bad things can happen. So, Day of Mourning 2022. You ever see a company comes up with an idea and it's so stupid you just can't imagine it got even into the development phase? What about Tropicana?
Oh my God. We talked about heartburn earlier. This screams heartburn as well.
So Tropicana, and they make a good juice. Mm-hmm. It's a strong juice. I take no umbrage with the way they juice things up.
Can I tell you, I love their bottles, like the plastic bottles mm-hmm. that have a little shape to them, with a long neck. Big fan of those.
It's a good product.
Mm-hmm.
But now what they want to do is something that should never, ever happen. And no matter what happens to humanity, whether or not we do begin to colonize Mars, Jupiter, Uranus, wherever we end up, at no point should this ever be a thing. Remember the stories of astronauts in Tang, which was, again, not a great idea, but it did at least have a practical application because you were taking it into space.
They needed sustenance up there.
Correct, and powder was the way to go. Tropicana has now developed a cereal that is meant to go with orange juice instead of milk. And look, you go with whatever percentage you want. You're 0%, 1%, 3%. I don't care. They're all good. Cream, half and half. You use whatever you want in there, but it's milk. Tropicana Crunch, honey almond cereal made for OJ.
Change it there. Let's start
now,
there.
I will say, when I first saw the story and I saw Tropicana Crunch and OJ, I thought OJ was promoting Tropicana. And I thought, interesting choice of a spokesman.
I think they should change us to orange juice. Yes. First thing, cereal made for OJ.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yes, I agree with that. Yeah. Maybe OJ not the way you want to go.
It's just extended. I know you get a little tight for space. Make the font a little smaller. Cereal made for orange juice. OJ.
Yes, indeed. So this is their idea. And the way they describe it is it turns out that it has honey almond clusters that are meant to be spooned and sipped all while surrounded by and absorbing orange juice.
Now,
no.
This is to celebrate Orange Juice Day, like May 4th.
Mm-hmm.
So you say to yourself, is this a one-off? If it's a one-off, okay. If this turns into something, there'll be someone who'll like it. Guaranteed.
Well, and that's probably what they're doing. They're throwing it out there and seeing whether it sticks against a wall.
Because you remember like a little while ago we were talking about, it was one of those tweets where it just kind of went nuts, where somebody asked like, what's your wacky food
hack or whatever it was, mm-hmm. like something that you eat that's unusual. And I think there was people who said they put orange juice in their cereal. And I wonder if they got the idea from that. I mean, Johnny Garbutt does something gross with Bugles, right? He puts mayonnaise in them.
I guess.
Not even in the remotely in the same league. It's the acidity.
It's too much. Your heart.
Way too much.
I would like to preface this with, I do not work for Big Orange Juice. Tropicana has never let me down. Okay? We've built a trust with their product. And I'm going to let this one go. I'm going to try this one. I am not going to poo-poo it until I try it. It is made for orange juice.
Okay, would you say the same thing if the product was, let's say you trusted Ronsonol. Would you say, hey, that's great. They're putting a cereal that's meant to go with lighter fluid. They've never disappointed me before. I'll give that a go.
I'm going to pass on that one. Because I think lighter fluid's bad for your internal organs. That's just me.
Uh-huh.
But I'm going to give these guys the benefit of the doubt.
I will say, it's Tropicana. Sorry, Johnny. It says 15 million people have tried orange juice in their cereal.
Wow, big number.
Yeah. I've never met one. I don't even like it when people put warm milk in cereal.
Well, here's one text, and from a business standpoint, I don't disagree with this. Genius on behalf of Tropicana. They don't make milk, but they do make orange juice. Therefore, it can boost their sales. They've got nothing to lose.
That's true.
Except the ones, the boxes that might be sitting on a tractor trailer somewhere, like that Springsteen Live album did.
Like, I think you're right. Like, if you're saying if you don't like it, you're going to not buy orange juice after that.
If I try it and I come back in here and I'm like, guys, I know where you're standing on this. I tried it. It takes the acidity out. There's something within the clusters that makes the orange juice palatable. Please try it for me.
No.
Would you do it? No?
No, no. Because okay. I already know. No, right. You could come up with the most highfalutin. You could say, guys, will you try pheasant under glass? Mm. And I'd try that before I would try this. I already know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to suck.
Okay. Okay, hey.
There's zero chance of success. The three of us.
Wow, 0% of success.
The three of us have a better chance of making it to the moon than this does of tasting good.
You know what I heard about cereal? Mm-hmm. Someone said to me that, like, the mascots, the way they're on the box, and I get selling, you're selling to kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
That their eyes all, like, kind of, like, go to, like, towards, like, a kid's level in a grocery store. Isn't that crazy, the details they come up with?
I wouldn't be shocked. It's a worldwide conspiracy.
Yeah, like
it's a cereal conspiracy.
Do you have any problem eating kids' cereal as an adult?
No, sir.
Like if you were on a first date.
Sir,
let's say you had a first date and you were lucky enough where the young lady slept over, of course, in another room. Because there's no way she's sleeping with us on the first time. You wake up, she wakes up, she's like, oh, do you have anything to eat? And she opens up your pantry and you got nothing but kitty cereal, sugary. Cereal? Do you?
Oh no!
Are you embarrassed?
No, not at all. I'm going to say two Saturdays ago, a two bowler of Cap'n Crunch. Yeah, it was excellent.
What's better at cereal at night too? Do you ever feel like a little bit risky in life when you're like, ooh, it's 9 o'clock at night and I'm having cereal? That liberates me, man. That feels good.
Is that what makes life worth living?
Screw society.
Mm-hmm.
Who said it's got to be in the morning?
Yes. Okay. You're one of the great rebels now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is just no. This is a big, massive, fat no.
Do you think there'll be a... OJ? You got me thinking about OJ. Do you think there'll ever be a serial killer's cereal? I'm just thinking out loud now, right?
Like there's that new John Wayne Gacy documentary on Netflix.
Right,
and somebody
capes.
You think is sitting there at a cereal mm-hmm. company going, hey, we really should put this guy in the clown outfit on a cereal box.
Well, there's not enough marshmallows in the Ed Gein.
Johnny, sure. I'm going to tell you this, my friend.
Okay.
There is a better chance of the Raptors winning tonight.
Oh.
And a serial killer cereal.
Oh,
wow.
No.
I like it. Bold stance.
If you can't tune up your buddies, what's the point of living?
Wasn't long enough? We've heard that before. Listen to Derringer in the Morning, weekday 6 to 10 on Q107.
Hi. Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.